And it is my pleasure to introduce a friend. You know, initially when I met Pastor Michael, he scared me. He scared me. No, he did. 15 years ago, I met him, and I was scared. I was like, I thought, oh my goodness. I mean, I had never been to the Czech Republic, and because of Tom Lilienthal, I blame him. Because he actually introduced me to a beautiful country and a beautiful people and beautiful friends. And so the Onroop family has become friends over these last 15 years. I've made 10 trips over to just be with them, do things with them, ministry-wise, in their church, churches that they're affiliated with. And they're wonderful servants of God, humble, knowledgeable, mature, and hard workers. They know what it's like, and I think there's a kindred spirit because his church and our church are about the same age and size, similar in so many ways, and yet they've got a big vision to reach their community and do things. So I want you to welcome a warm Westchester Family Church welcome to Pastor Michael Onroop.
We like Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not scary. My wife says I have to keep on smiling. Otherwise, with my hair and everything, I look too strict. I don't know. It's good to be here. Yeah. Last time I was with you was in 2019. Yes. Pastor Christine was declaring we are going beyond blue.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yes. Yes. Beyond the blue.
Yeah.
And you are beyond the blue.
Yes.
I brought some blue in, but it's okay. Okay, thank you. So that was 2019, and then the COVID hit everything. But I'm here, and I was very glad, and I'm still very glad that I could make it here to be with you in this morning. It was like, I don't know, 2 days ago it didn't seem like.
Friday.
Friday, it didn't seem like. I mean, I woke up in the morning, I got day off from the work, I was packing. Mm-hmm. After I done my packing, I went to check the tickets to make sure everything works, and just said, your flight has been canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Praise the Lord, I'm here. It's good. I bring greetings from the Czech Republic, from Jeseník. My wife specially said, say hello.
Hello.
So she would love to be here with me. But that would be one big problem, because if she would be here, I would get no chance to speak. Yeah, they send the greetings and they send it, and I believe one day you'll see them in person.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, not only my wife, but the kids also, and they are lovely. I love them.
Yes.
Miss them already, but love them. Okay, are you ready for some word?
Yes.
I'm a little bit worried. I mean, the first meeting with Pastor Douglas, I scared him. In case I'm going to be saying something today you don't like, I've got a good thing for you. When the American missionaries came to Czech, 1990s, when the borders opened and communism fell, everything, some of the Czech churches, which were underground before and everything, they didn't like them, and they said they are bringing the American gospel. Mm-hmm. And what they didn't like was kind of the boldness and you know, standing on the word, and even some didn't like the prosperity teaching, things like that. And they're saying, this is the American gospel. So if I say something today you don't like, you can just have a little revenge and say, yeah, he's just bringing the Czech gospel. And you can check it and it's done. Okay? Yeah. So, let's go to Bible. Book of Proverbs, chapter 31. And you go there, and I'll pray. And I'll pray in English. We'll try. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that your word is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It comes and pierces, divides between the soul and the spirit. And I thank you that that's the type of the word we receive today. Not something that slides off, but something that comes into our heart and shows us the ways of the Spirit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you have the Proverbs chapter 31? Mm-hmm. I love the book of Proverbs. Mm-hmm. I mean, apart the New Testament, you know, the Gospels, letters, everything, this is the probably for me the most read part of the Bible, of the Old Testament. I had a habit, I probably should return to it, for 2 years or something of my life, I was reading every day a chapter of the Proverbs. And it, I tell you, it does something good to you. It does. On my last mission trip to Serbia, which actually was last year, worked with a sound man there, and we used one afternoon or two, sat down, and I read the whole book of Proverbs, and he put it on the CDs for me. I have it in a car. Not here, at home. It's in Czech. And I contacted the Bible organization that did the translation. I said, can I give it to the people? And they said, yes, you can give it to the people of your church. So when I'm in the car, I can just put in the Proverbs and listen to the Proverbs. Love it. And today I'm going to start with one verse. We're actually going to go to two verses in chapter 31. And it's really a divisive verse. It divides Christians sometimes. And I'll show you how. But today we will get all united in our perspective and vision. And the divisive verse is the verse 10. Can I read it?
Yes.
Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? And it goes on and goes on and goes on. And this verse kind of divides Christianity into two groups, men and women. You know, when man reads the Proverbs, not you after today, they just say, yeah, that's for the women. And then immediately they use this proverb in their heart as a window through which they look at the women. And they kind of compare, you know. On the other hand, when the dear sisters read this proverb, they say, oh no, again, the perfect wife. How far I'm from that, you know. Any sister that had these feelings or thoughts before? How far I'm from that standard, you know. And it, today, I'm going to unite you all. Which way? Which way? Towards the window or the other way? I read it many times. And I had the same manly view on this scripture. You know, that's the type of scripture sometimes when you read it, you say, oh, it's not for me. And you kind of read ease on. You know, that's what men do in these parts. And sometimes we do on the other parts. Because it's not for me, you know, it's for women, you know. And we read it again with that window attitude. I look through the world at the other group, you know, because it's for them, not for me. Well, today, I'm going to unite us, and we're going to be reading this, and maybe some other verse from this passage, just to inspire us, not through the window, but through the mirror of the world. Did I mention the mirror of the world last time I was here, out of James? I don't know. If not, that's strange. So let's get the mirror first. James 1. And then we will come to the perfect example. And then you can complain about the Czech gospel. James 1, verse 22 and 23, 24. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And then it goes on, the proper attitude toward the word. And I love this illustration that James puts in, because it explains a lot, you know. I did a deep Greek study on the word mentioned in the verse 23, man. He's like man observing his natural face. And I found out that the Greek word doesn't say human or person, but it actually says man. And, you know, we men, we have a different or strange relationship with mirrors. Kind of don't care. Go, you know, look in a mirror and go away and don't care. And it's done. And sometimes even before we leave the bathroom or wherever the mirror is, we forget because it's done. On the other hand, the women, they have, and women laugh about it, but come on guys, there will be some repenting. The women, they have the very right relationship with mirror. Because Bible says we are not to be as a man who looks in a mirror. We are to be as a woman that looks in the mirror.
Amen.
Come on, man. Some amen. Ouch. 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 Yeah, there will be more of that. What do I mean? I don't understand that relationship. But if today I would say, somebody please give me a little mirror, I bet the sisters would beat men in the competition. I don't think there is maybe there might be one or two men, I don't know, I doubt it, who have in their backpack or purse or anything a mirror. Anybody's been, you have? Wow, one.
Ooh.
A man? Oh, men
never met. Oh, you can do the signal. So.
He's the hunter.
Yeah. He's the hunter. But most of the women might have a little mirror in their purse.
Yes. Yeah.
So their relationship with the mirror is as our relationship with the word ought to be. You know? Because when a man looks in the mirror, he immediately forgets. That's what James says. And I don't want you to hear today's message and go leave the door and immediately forget. I don't want your relationship with the word to be like that. I don't want you and me, when we do our morning devotion, read, and before we leave our house, we don't even know what we read. That's a bad relationship with the word. Bad relationship with the mirror. I believe, I might be wrong, I'm not a woman. I believe that every woman has in her, there somewhere, the perfect picture of her, how she should look. And I believe her relationship with the mirror is that she is checking out whether that perfect picture agrees with what's on the outside.
That's true.
Wow. I mean, I'm looking at it from the manly, you know, not understandable, you know, way, because I don't have that type of thinking. But if you look in the Bible, you see that that's how our relationship with the word ought to be. Because our mirror, the word, it's actually higher level, because in the spirit it has the perfect picture of you. And we need to be checking whether this thing and this thing agrees with this thing.
Yes, that's good.
So that's why we are not to be like a man who look in the mirror and forget. We are to be like a woman, because they want to adjust. They want to make sure everything is perfect. That ought to be our relationship with the mirror. So today, guys, women, brothers, sisters, no way. I don't want you to use the word we will be sharing. I still didn't start it yet. Today, I don't want any one of us to use the word as a window to look at the others. I want us to use it as a mirror, but the right way. Can we do it?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I could stay in the mirror part, believe me, because it's so... When it came to me as a revelation, you know, it's just hit me. But then I read this Proverbs 31, verse 10 and onwards. And the revelation came to me. Because I was reading it with a manly attitude. Through the window. And basically, what you read through the window, you can throw out. Because it doesn't affect you. You can get judgmental. You know? And you can get bad attitude towards the people. And one day I was reading this, and thought came to me. And I believe it came from the Holy Spirit. And thought was very simple. When I say that thought to you, you will know exactly what I'll be talking about. And that thought was, the church is a bride of Christ. Amen. And Paul said, I have betrothed you as a pure virgin to one man. And Bible says there will be a wedding of the Lamb. And Bible says that Christ's relationship with the church is compared to the relationship of a husband and wife. And when that realization came, I realized that this scripture portrays a perfect church. It's not only the perfect virtuous woman, but it's perfect virtuous church. And all of a sudden, I got that feeling all the sisters do sometimes when they read this. Oh no. How far I am from that perfect standard. You know, there are Christians, dear brothers and sisters, they seek a perfect church. So after today, you can tell them, I know there is a perfect church. It's right here in Proverbs. You just need to go there and act what you hear. So when that realization hit me, I immediately, when I was reading it, through the Holy Spirit, I believe, I started to see a principles, things, character traits that need to be in my life in order that I would be a perfect part of the church. What I mean perfect part is there is a church worldwide. There's a local expression of the church, local church, and the church is built of the living stones. And I'm a living stone. And if I am to be part of the church that is perfect, I need to be a perfect living stone. Ouch or amen? You can choose. And when that came to me, I started to see this in whole new light. I started to see it as a example to reach, as a something I want to get and I want to be in my life. You know, here in, now comes the Czech lesson. Lesson of the Czech language. Here in the United States, you've got the word church. And that can mean the building, and that can mean the ecclesia, the group of people. In Czech language, we are lucky, we've got two different words. Word for the building, like you've got the Church of St. James and things like that, those buildings. We've got the Czech word for the church as a building is kostel. Kostel. And that means a building. And then we have the word for the church as the ecclesia, as the chosen ones, and that's církev. You know, it's two different words. So I believe today we all understand that when we will be talking about the church, we won't be talking about the buildings. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
We will be talking about the chosen ones. Mm-hmm. We will be talking about ecclesia. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about church also, we won't be talking about just the pastor and the pastor's wives, because they ought to be there. But we will be talking about each and every one of us as a living stones. Because if we are to become or to be the virtuous church, then we've got to be virtuous living stones. Because the virtuous church is not made out of virtuous pastors and dead living stones. I know it kind of doesn't match, you know, dead living stones. But sometimes it happens. But the virtuous church, the perfect church, is made out of the virtuous, perfect living stones. So I all of a sudden started to see these principles here in the book of Proverbs as very personal, as touching me as a man, Michael Ondruk, as a son of God, adopted to the family, member of the church, living stone. Amen? And trust me, The wealth of the perfect church, which is in these verses, we would not have a time really to touch it. We would not really have time just to do explanatory reading. So we'll focus maybe on one or maximum two principles just to get us all started on what it means to be virtuous church. Because, listen to me, world needs churches that are not perfect, virtuous, churches that God likes. People need those type of churches. And God wants that type of church. God wants that type of bride. God wants you and me to be virtuous living stones. Amen?
Yes.
So to close up a little bit the first part of the thing, dear brothers, next time you read Proverbs 31 from the verse 10, it's for you. No windows. Amen? Mirror. Amen?
Yes.
And it's for you. And also, dear sisters, it's for you, not in a worldly, fleshly manner, but as an example for us to become a virtuous living stones. Because that's what God wants. He wants us to be virtuous living stones. Let's go to the verse 16. Just to get you to see some of the principles. There's tons of them. You know, one day somebody should write a book about this. Because it's so full, you know. And it's life-changing, some of those things. Verse 16, do we have it?
Yes.
She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. In our Czech translation, it says, she considers a field and gets it. I don't know if any of your English translation has the word gets it. This New King James has buys it. I like a little bit the word gets it more, but we can live with this one too. She considers a field and buys it. And also in the Czech version, which I love, the word considers, which is very good, is not there. It's she sees a field and gets it. You know? Which gives a slightly different idea, but the consider is good too. She sees, she considers a field and gets it and buys it. You know, this principle is easy. We all know field. Mm-hmm. You know, if we go to the New Testament, we know what the field is. It's the people we are to reach with the love of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So the principle of virtuous living stone is, the virtuous living stone walks around, sees or considers a field, and buys it, adopts it. It's my field. But in order for this to happen, couple conditions, considers. If we look at this chapter or this passage of scripture, we see that this woman considers really one thing. What? Verse 12. What she does? Talking about her relationship with her husband. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. The central point of her consideration, of her vision, is her husband and doing good for him. What he needs, what he desires, what he wants, that's what she's thinking about it all her life. And only good, you know. Do you know? No, I won't ask this question. No, you would get on the Czech gospel thing. No, I won't ask this question. She thinks only of good. So for this woman, for her to consider the field, it means that consideration or her vision of the field, that she sees the field, comes from her consideration of her husband. So for me as a living stone, basically the central point of my life would be to worship Jesus. I'll put it this way, and I believe we all understand that worshiping Jesus doesn't mean singing a slow song.
Yeah.
It means acknowledging and submitting under the leadership of Jesus Christ. He is the Lord.
Yes.
Not leadership, lordship. That's the better word. So, she's thinking, what would be good for my husband? She's thinking, what would he like? And as she thinks, she walks through her town. She's working, doing her business, we can see that. And she sees something what other people would see just as maybe as a meadow or a piece of land. And all of a sudden she sees it's a field. Nobody else sees the field, she sees it. Why? Because she's thinking, what would be good for my family? What would be good for my husband? And me as a living stone, I need to be thinking this way. I need to be seeing this way. What is good for Jesus?
Yes.
And some Christians, they do that in Sunday service, in the morning devotional, at a home group. I heard, ouch. Yeah. But then they switch on to their professional life.
Oh my.
And this thinking is gone because I'm working now. You know, I work at a bank. Don't ask me for a loan. So I'm not that type of person. I'm working at a cashier. And I worked there shortly. You know what changed in the bank since I started? One of the key person in that bank, in that place, she started to use less swear words. She started to proclaim that she's very happy that I'm there, because whenever I'm there, there is more peace, and I work as a peace channel in that place. You know? And all I'm doing, I'm just considering what's good for Jesus. You know? I'm not going to the bank and I'm not praying, Lord, let me be a peace person in this place. I'm just trying to walk through my life. What's good for Jesus? What would bring glory to Jesus? Jesus, what do you want? What do you need? And out of that consideration, she sees the field. She considers the field because she's not going around blindly. That's a good thing. So for us to be a virtuous living stone, we've got to be thinking of the good of Jesus. Of the good of our Lord.
Yeah.
Like Pastor Christine said, if I would have one word, it would be Jesus. That was the right answer. And that's it. She considers. So she considers, she sees it. Why? Because she is in tune with her husband. Because she is in tune on what he needs. You know? She's not self-centered thinker. So she considers the field, but then there is the other thing. She considers the field and buys it. or as the Czech translation says, she considers the field and gets it. I like the word gets it. It's got a momentum in it.
Yeah.
You hear it there, huh?
Yeah.
Gets it. Let me give you an illustration so we would understand this. Good. I like fishing. Anybody else here? Amen. I knew. In the fishing, I have dreams and I have visions. One of my dreams in a fishing area is that I would catch a fish that is bigger than me. But it's in a state of dream. For me, in Europe, it actually would mean I would have to go and focus on catching European catfish. Not American catfish, forget them. European catfish, they grow up to 2.5 meters. You can recalculate that in a feet. And they are known to weigh over 100 kilos. That's 200 plus pounds. But it's in a stage of dream. Why? Because I like that, but I'm not doing anything to catch that type of fish. I've got in my circle of people I know, friend of mine, who aims at it. And he already got like 2 or 3 catfish over 2 meters long. You know? And not that he just goes to the special place where there's tons of them. He goes on a wild river. You know, and it's real fishing. It's not like, going to supermarket and put a net there where it's full of trout. And he knows how to do that. And all I would need to do is hook up with him, study, get the equipment, go on a tours with him. Not like tourist tours, but fishing thing. And I would be starting towards fulfilling this dream. But I'm not doing nothing. So it's just a dream. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, in my fishing life, I've got a vision or something about catching carp. I know you kind of in America, what's carp? It's a good fish. Catching carp, which is bigger than 20 kilos. That's 40 plus pounds. I don't know what's the rate. This is a different story. Why? Because I'm reading books. I'm expanding my skills. I'm going to the places where I know that they are. Year before, I was at one place, and I didn't get a carp 20 plus, but the guy next to me caught a carp which was 30 plus kilos. You know? So, I'm working on it. I know I already had that carp 20 plus on my line, but he escaped. Was smarter than me. Happens. Right now, I got up to 16.5 kilos. That's my biggest carp up to now. So I'm getting closer. And I know, with the perseverance, with the increased skills, a little bit of luck, I'm gonna get there.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm working on it. She sees the field, she considers the field, and she gets it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Many Christians just consider. That would be a good field. That group of people, that kids in the orphanage, somebody ought to go to them and bring them the love of God. That people in Old Folks House, somebody really ought to go there and do a program and start maybe a little Bible, you know. It would be good, considers. It's good. It's good first step. But then it needs the momentum. Gets it. Get it from the area of dream to the area of vision and movement. Because let me ask you a question. What profit would bring to her husband a field that is only considered? Nothing. Nothing. Yeah, Czech gospel. Nothing. But the field that is considered and bought and worked on, what profit does it bring? All the profit he needs? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, it's almost 12:15.
You're good.
I'm good?
You're good.
Thank you. So, we see this principle that makes us a virtuous living stone, and that is, we are so considerate of Jesus and what he needs and what he wants, that we walk around with open eyes, and we see the field that maybe nobody else sees it.
Yeah.
And we not only see it, but we are getting it.
Yes.
Question is, do you want to be a virtuous living stone or dead living stone? No. There is a lukewarm living stone in between, you know. But we are to be virtuous living stones. The second part of that 16th verse says something very similar. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. Let me tell you how I see the difference between field and vineyard. The field is the people you are to reach with the love of God. That's the field. White unto harvest.
Yeah.
I'm going to brag myself, put myself on the phone. I brought to your pastors a calendar from the Czech Republic in order to get them to Czech Republic because they would see the beauty of my area.
It's so pretty.
And there is one picture which really shows the field ready unto harvest.
Yes. Gorgeous.
You know, it's actually my favorite picture of that calendar. And we all know that's the people we are to reach. But the vineyard, it's a different story. Why? Because you need to build a wall. You need to build a wine press. You need to build a, watchtower. Not watchtower society, but just a watchtower. Leave the society to somebody else. And it's a different thing. From her profits, she plants a vineyard, It's not talking about a harvest field, but it talks about the ministry. Every living stone, I'm sorry to say that, is ought to be involved in some aspect of the ministry. Start a ministry, plants a vineyard, be part of the ministry. I know when we talk about the ministry, people think pulpit. Stage, you know, but the ministry is far greater.
Yes.
Far greater.
Yeah.
You know, that might be a ministry to the community. That might be ministry within the local church. Just let me illustrate. I've got a dear lady in my church. Gray hair. She might be already turning white hair, but doesn't matter. And she came to me some time ago and she asked if that she has a desire to pray for me as a pastor. I said, okay,
hallelujah.
Gladly. And I can stand here and I can be in peace and everything because I know I've got this prayer warrior and that's what she is, praying for me. It's a minister, it's her vineyard. I had a man that came to me and he told me, Pastor, can I be your personal critique? I refused that offer. Because I don't believe in the ministry of criticism. Sorry. But that happens. But the ministry is far greater. And she says, it says, from her prophet. If you would read that passage, you would find out that she was expert in making clothes. That was her business, making linen, making clothes and everything. Out of that, she took the money from that and planted a vineyard. Which it tells me that our ministry should come from what we do, but might not be in the area we do.
Yes.
Because the vineyard and making clothes, it's kind of two different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there is a call. There is a call of God. There is his appointing. There is his anointing involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our ministry doesn't have to be only in our area of natural abilities.
That's right.
It's better if it's not, because then God can get all the glory. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if it's in an area of our natural abilities, then we want to share the glory.
Right.
You know? So we are to be involved in the ministry. And as I say, ministry is far different, far, far, far beyond just the pulpit and the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we are called to do. Every living stone or to be involved in the ministry. Some people will be involved in the ministry just by giving their profit to the ministry. We as a church in Jeseni, we support orphanage in India. You know, raise the money and quarterly we send the money there. And the guy who runs it is a Dutchman. From time to time he shows up and he's always very thankful, very grateful. And we just, from our profits, plant the vineyard. We support a man who is not from our church, but he works in our area, he works with the young people, goes to the school, gives them lectures, you know, everything. We support him. He's not even from our church. From our prophet, we plant the vineyard. You know? And each one of us has a virtue, living stone, ought to be in the ministry. Why? Why each one of us? Why don't we reserve the ministry for the pastor and his wife? They do a great job. Because if we don't do it, then the churches are going to die. That's very simple. I studied some principles by John Maxwell on leadership. Probably heard that name, probably heard that principles. In one of the books I read, I studied, he said that 80% of the work in a church is done by 20% of the people. I say in some churches it might be even lower percentage, everything. And whenever I see on Facebook what you do, guys, I'm all excited because there is that ukulele band who plays. There, you've done the tree lightning thing and some other celebrations. And when I see the pictures of how many people are involved, I say, wow, that's great. That's great because it's not like the 20%, it's more. That's good. But let's now stick with the 20% and let's think. In your body, you all look great. But let's say that in your body, only 20% of the cells would do their job. Tell me, what would be your state? Dead. Not functioning. If it would be the specific 20 parts, you might be crippled. You would not be functioning. You would be half dead. If it's like other 20 parts and not the heart 20%, you know, you might be dead. And if you look at this, with this thing in our mind, at that 20% does 80%, then we have to say that the church overall is in a stage of death. You know, because not all the living stones are functioning. The Bible says the church takes its growth by the work of every joint.
Yes.
Every joint. So every living stone ought to be involved in ministry. Again, some people say pulpit, things like, no. It has a different meaning. You know, ministry is within the world, prayer ministry, you know, community ministry, anything invisible to the people, visible to God. It's like when we look at the people, we say, you've got the beautiful eyes, nice hair, nice looking, you seem to be working, you know, you are fit. But unless you are a specialist, you don't say, people, you've got really beautiful kidneys. And how many of you know that if you would lose your arm, you can live? If you would lose your kidneys,
you can live.
You can live. So don't put down the so-called invisible ministry. Don't put down the so-called invisible vineyards just because they don't get the human glory. They don't get the, like some people, some of you might do it because I say you won't do it. But some people, if I would not say it, would come to me after the service and they would say, that was a good word, Pastor. Now you won't do it because I said so. But there's the invisible ministry, which is the same important, even more important than the visible one. I'm not speaking down on the pastors, preachers, worship people. No. I'm just saying, every living stone has to plant a vineyard. as the ministry. And it might be ministry that people might consider like, so what, your intercessor? God doesn't say that.
No.
God said, I am seeking somebody who will stay and stand there in the gap, that I would not destroy the town. And God puts it high. Amen? So, today we just started. And I've got a challenge for you. You can pick it up or you can leave it. We just started the idea or the thinking of the virtuous church. Virtuous living stones. And I would like to challenge you. I mean, we may come to the altar and pray, it would be good. But I want to challenge you for the next month. I cannot order, I'm not the pastor of the church. And I don't think even your pastor could order you to do something. He would love to, in some cases. I would love to do it in my church. When I see people heading the destructive path, I would like to order them not to. But can't. But I would like to suggest for you and for me and for this moment, I'm considering part of this family because we are family.
Yes.
We gather together two or three in Jesus' name. It's not two or three and one strange visitor. It's two or three in Jesus' name and he's between us. So how about taking this passage, Proverbs 31:10 to the end of the chapter for the next month or so. And when I have a time, peaceful time, just pray and say, Lord, show me how I can be the virtuous living stone. And maybe can read one or two verses and allow God to speak and then doing it, adjusting my life. And I tell you, it will change your life. It will change the life of your church. Amen. Today we just again, we just touched it. And trust me, the field and vineyard, we just scratched the surface. You know? And God has much more in you.
Amen.
I was in Serbia and Bosnia in September, like less than 6 months ago. I found out that I was the first visitor there in a year and a half. Since the COVID broke, nobody visited those dear churches. Serbia and Bosnia are part of Balkan. That's the region in Europe. The Balkan region in Europe is known as a gateway either for the Muslims to Europe or for the Christians to the Muslim world. Sarajevo, the capital city of Bosnia where I preached, I spent there a whole weekend trying to encourage people, everything preached. Is 95% Muslims. You know? I don't think the gateway is opening the right way. I preached in capital of Serbia, which is Belgrade. Usually when you have a capital city in a town, in a country, they tend to have some strong, good, build-up churches, which are the light, you know. In Belgrade, in Serbia, they don't have the biggest church in the country. They've got a couple scattered churches, scattered. I preach in a home group sized church.
Wow.
You know. I don't think that the Balkans, the gate is opening the right way at the moment. And there is, why I'm sharing this, is there is a ministry, invisible ministry of intercessor for the other countries. There is ministry of reaching out, you know. When I was there in the Balkans, I tried, sat at a computer for long hours, and I tried to find a good flight connections that I had. Maybe once a month I could fly on for the weekend to Sarajevo, be with the people. Do a seminar on Saturday or do outreach on Saturday, be with them on a Sunday, help the missionary, he's from Slovakia, who's going there and helping them. Because that church needs it. And I couldn't find any flights. But that thing still burns. So this verse plants a vineyard. It might be the Balkans for me. Not that I would move there and become missionary, but being more involved, channeling help, being in prayer, trying to be there as much as I can. I don't know, because it still burns. It means if you have one vineyard, it doesn't mean it's all. There can be more.
Yes.
There can be always more. So today we just touched, we just scratched the surface of what it would be to be a virtuous living stone. And I believe we've got here tons of potential virtuous living stones.
Yes.
And God wants to be glorified through you.
Amen.
So anybody who would like to pick up the challenge of reading through that Proverbs, prayerfully reading, with that one thing, Lord, show me how to be the virtuous living stone, and then applying it. If you want, I'll pray with you, and you pray with me, and we pray for each other, if Pastor doesn't mind. And
take your liberty, brother.
Thank you, because it's like it's so important. Christians are seeking the perfect church, but the world needs a virtuous church. Jesus desires a virtuous church. You know, church that is thinking of Him, what is good for Jesus. And that virtuous church is made of virtuous living stones. Amen. I actually came all the way with this Czech gospel. So, I'm sorry. It's not COVID. It's the cold plane. I was in a t-shirt in the plane, all the flight. So, if you want to pray, if you want to say, I'll commit my time and everything to this, I'll gladly pray with you. And you can pray with me. Because I want to see a virtuous church in Czech. I want to see it here, but I want to see it in Czech too. And it all starts with just anybody who will say yes. You know, for God is not a big problem with the numbers. If you will read all this 10 verse through end, it never says it was a big family. It never said it was a family of thousands in order to be virtuous. It spoke of one person. One living stone can do tons of it. Two living stones, great. Amen. I'll better stop because I might get into some other principles. So rich, there's so much in it. You know, that if you want to pray, we'll pray. If Pastor wants to close it, come up. You can
comment it.
You can. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wasn't that a good word?
Yes.
That was rich. That was rich. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you.
That was a challenging word.
Amen.
For us to be living stones and to be the virtuous church. Amen. So if that's you, let's just do this. Let's respond to the word. Let's respond to the word. And I'm not trying to embarrass anybody here today. But if you really felt tugged in your heart and you want Pastor to pray for you, I want you just to stand right where you are and say, yeah, I'm gonna do what he said. I'm gonna put action to that. I'm standing. I'm one of those. I'm gonna stand as your pastor. But if there's anybody else in here, you say, yeah, I'm standing. Go ahead and right where you are right now, just go ahead and stand. And let's believe God together. And I'm going to have Pastor Michael pray for us. If you're at home and you are watching and this message touched your heart, I want you just to, you know, give a thumbs up or something. And we're going to pray for you too. All right. And I'm going to have Pastor Michael pray over us that he would give you the strength and the courage
to do what you need to do to put this word into action. Pastor Michael.
Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I thank you for every brother, for every sister, for everybody who was convicted and challenged in their heart, and who says, I want to be a virtuous living stone.
Thank you.
Lord, they might say, I don't know what it means. I pray that through the Holy Spirit and your word, you'll show us.
Yes.
You'll show us the principles. You'll show us the character traits of the virtuous living stones. And not only you will show us through the Holy Spirit and your word, but your Holy Spirit will guide us and will teach us how to. Will teach us how to become a virtuous living stone. Will teach us each step at a time. Lord, you say in your word that we should not despise the day of the small beginnings. And I thank you that we will see your work day to day.
Yes.
Step at a time.
Thank you.
As we start to change our lives, as we start to adapt your principles, character traits. And Lord, I thank you that the world will see. They will see the life and they will see you in us. It was written of Jesus that the Word came and lived among us. And we've seen his glory as the one and living Son. And Lord, I thank you that it will be said of this church, of these people who stand, who want to be a virtuous living soul, that the Word will again become flesh.
Yes.
It will become our flesh, our bodies.
Yes.
And people will see your glory.
Yes.
In our lives. I thank you that we will be the virtuous living stones.
Thank you.
By the standing up, by the receiving it, we are on the path. And for you, the Lord, the path is important. Because once we step on the path, you kick in, your spirit comes
Thank
in
you, Lord.
And helps and does the work we cannot do.
Yes.
Because what we can do, can't do, you do.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you. Thank you for the virtuous church in Westchester.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're going to be going through that, those scriptures, and asking God to speak to us. You may be seated just for a moment. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, or you're watching online and you've never asked Jesus, the way you get on the path is you just believe in your heart and you confess Jesus with your mouth, that he becomes the Lord of your life. And if that's you right now, I'm just going to have everyone bow our heads right now. And just, I'd like everybody in this room just to repeat this prayer, not because of just vain repetition, but that we would repeat this prayer to bring encouragement to somebody who might be making Jesus Lord of their life, who's watching online, or who's becoming a Christian, and maybe they're here in person. I do that every single week so that you know that there is an opportunity to receive Christ and to become a born-again Christian. If that's you, just go ahead and pray this simple prayer with us right now. Say, Father God,
I come before you
in the name of Jesus.
I believe in my heart
that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he rose from the dead. I call him my Lord and my Savior today. I receive his forgiveness by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer or a prayer similar to that in your heart today, and you want to know more, we want you to message us. We want to send you something in the mail. You can message us via the Facebook Messenger. We want to know so that we can help you out with your walk with God. If you would like to give to our special guest minister, you can do so online as well as in person. If you'd like to give a special gift to Pastor Michael, we want to encourage you to do that. We want to encourage him in the vineyards that God puts in his heart. I think it's phenomenal that
just 20 some odd, 30 years ago, you know, was it 30 years ago that Czech was in communism?
Oh, 32 plus years ago,
It was illegal to meet openly in a Christian church like he pastors. And now not only does he pastor a church, but they go to Serbia. They are reaching out. They support another vineyard by supporting an orphanage in India. I think that is pretty amazing. That's the power of the gospel coming in and ministering. And if you have a chance to talk to Pastor Michael in person, he got to know the missionaries who came from the States and who had mass crusades and right in the villages, and people came to Christ, and there was a great revival. And if it happened then, it can happen again. And it can happen throughout Europe. We want to keep Ukraine and Europe in our prayers right now as things are tense. But you know, Jesus said, you'll hear wars and rumors of wars, but it's not the end. But you know, we can look up and know that our redemption is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon, but there's a world to reach. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand for our closing verse right now. I want to just say again, thank you to Pastor Michael. Just give him a hand. Just, I know he doesn't like that because he does it for the Lord, but we love him and we're glad he's here. Let's just say this verse over ourselves and over us as we go. We're speaking the word, right? If you need extra prayer for anything, please message us. If you'd like to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we are a Spirit-filled church. We want to know how we can pray for you. Just grab me after church. We'll pray with you. But let's pray this right now. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8.
Just so you know, Pastor Michael has made himself available. If you would like special prayer, you can just step over here to this side. And for the rest of us, before we start ukulele, we'll just give it a bit of sensitivity in our time, and then we'll have our time to enjoy with the ukulele. But we'll give some opportunity for special prayer with Pastor Michael. So if you have a need, he's made himself available to you. And in the meantime, God bless you. You are dismissed.